right, we're going to call to order the regular meeting of the Communications and Technology Committee. It's November 7, 2024. It's 9:12 a.m. Present, I'm Director Steve Booth, also present Director Linda Butler, General Manager Mimi Morris, Director of Operations Eric Houston, and District Secretary Amelia Wilder. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Item two on the agenda, update on the website and social media. Amelia, I assume that's you?
That is me. Interestingly enough, compared to last month, the website, we only have 1,600 users this month, but we had 5,800 last month. Still having most of our friends from the United States, India, Canada came in first, while China was first last month. Just a little bit of difference. This month we have Brazil, United Kingdom, Germany, and Bangladesh. Last month, the Philippines, Japan, Germany, and Brazil. My favorite page.
How random is having people from Bangladesh look at our website?
I think they get on the website and say they're looking for something else.
By accident. And I look at this United States, and I look at the website 100 times every day. I get on there because it's easier for me to find information. So how many of those are me? A lot.
Oh, I see.
I'm on there 100 times a day.
Right.
Right?
But not from Bangladesh.
No, I'm staying here. I reroute my router. Andy worked on it. It takes a bit. So my favorite page, of course, is... what everybody's looking at. Last month, employment was number two, while board of directors, again, probably me, was number three. This month, folks want to know how to pay their bill, and then how to get a job, and just how to access us, how to find us. Oh, the integrated master plan, of course, made the list this month. But still only 140.
Yeah, I'm surprised there weren't more.
I think people went on and looked at it and saw 317 pages and said, oh, my God.
Rancho Mirada, San Jose, Sacramento, San Francisco. Boardman, again, was on the list last month, and the only Boardman I could find was in
Oregon. It's my guess is it's all the foreign, because it's a server farm. It's a server farm for Amazon servers out there.
What does that mean? Tell us about that.
So whenever you try to get through, basically the internet is just computers linked to computers.
Yeah.
And so whenever somebody accesses, it connects all of those dots. And so I think that's where that is coming from, that Boardman, that high account, because it's they're tethered all together.
So it's just bouncing there.
I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was curious where Boardman was, because I was from Oregon, hadn't heard of it. So I looked it up and then looked if it had a server farm, and it has a massive server farm out there.
Interesting.
Server farm. Okay, I guess we know something today we didn't know yesterday. our audience, just the same, men and women. Rancho Murrieta is our number one with 270 users from Rancho Murrieta last month. Any questions?
No, thank you. Item number three, avenues of communication regarding water conservation. Amy, is this you?
No, this was a request of Director Butler.
Okay.
Well, I was just thinking that conservation, conservation is one of our options,
yeah.
And it's also something that's being touted and to some extent mandated by the state of California, that we're supposed to start focusing on conservation, and that's no reason to wait until we are at a stage 4 drought or 5 or whatever the worst one is before we start becoming familiar with the idea that we are wasting too much water. Or maybe we aren't, but making sure that conservation is in the forefront of people's minds. I mean, I watered once a week this year. And I didn't have to, but I mean, I could have watered more. But first of all, my bill was ridiculous. And second of all, I just thought, you know what? You need to start doing it now. And so my take on that is that we really start beefing this up and going maybe more in depth in our articles or our presentations to the community. And then also, I think that we need to start having something like little water fairs or conservation fairs, things that we can, you know, throw up a pop tent and bring some information and talk to the community about, you know, what it means, get ourselves out there and start talking to the community in that way, getting very direct, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. I want to use the pipeline as much as possible. Beyond social media, what I have found is that people don't go on websites, etc., as much as we'd like them to. So that's the start. I mean, I was just starting to formulate some of that stuff in my mind, you know, the background being we need to start now instead of waiting until it's a disaster and, you know, everybody is saying, oh, my lawn's dying, you know. I did see right around the corner, lots of people are taking out their lawns. They really are. And I did see the other day a street on my corner, or a house on my corner of my street, ripping up the lawn, and they're going to put something else in. I have started to replace my lawn with clover because it only demands water like maybe once a week. You don't have to cut it very often. It makes white flowers that have bees can be attracted to and or are attracted to, and it actually, I mean, it looks different, but it's fun. But I only have a third of it done, but I'm working on it anyway. Just really bringing conservation to people's attention, and like I said, starting now instead of waiting until till it's a disaster or a demand.
Well, we know from information we've received from consultants that our water utilization here is higher. Than average.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I'm guilty, as I mentioned, during the heat of the summer, in order not to lose landscaping, I watered every day. And my bill was through the roof comparatively. And I don't have a huge yard, but I have a lot of lawn in the front of my mm-hmm. circle lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have a section that's like a quarter of my front grass, about the size of what you have.
Yeah. I do have a very small house and a very small yard.
Plus, we have lots of trees and shrubs that have been developed in the common areas
right.
adjacent to our property. I'm wondering, I agree, we probably need, just because all the signs are with weather patterns, with the watershed deterioration, everything mm-hmm. we're hearing about peripherally to our integrated water master plan, we probably just need to be more mindful of how much water we're using per household.
Mm-hmm.
I have a concern, and then I have kind of an idea. The concern is that with all the talk about the Integrated Water Master Plan and focus on development, people in our community are going, the message has to be very carefully crafted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I can already hear it. Yeah, you're asking us to save water so those
they can build houses.
So
yeah.
those greedy developers, which that's not my term, it's a term that I see used
for
some. Oh, I'm trying to move away from that.
I know.
Business people are in business to make money. You have to understand that, and then let's figure out how we.
I don't have to agree with it.
Well, okay. But anyway, I think that we have to be very careful in strategizing the message, so that it not easily be
misconstrued,
interpreted as, you know, something to to provide more water for more development.
No, I agree.
Because that's not a popular point of view in our community right now, as over 2,000 individuals have attested.
But can't you do that by and that's why I meant by going more in depth and saying, you know, this is going to be a statewide thing.
Yeah,
this is going to be,
And especially as we approach 3,000 hookups, if we get to that point without an interruption. I don't know. Eric, do you happen to know right now how many hookups we have?
We're at like 2,800, almost 900,
I would say. Yeah, I think it's actually really close to 2,900.
Yeah, I think it's easy. It's just around, to round it. So the exact numbers, I'm not sure.
So we'll be there in a year.
Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Other things at play, but who knows. So my idea was, I this isn't a new concept, so I'm wondering if CSDA or RRWA or other organizations with whom our district is affiliated might not have some pieces already developed.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Right,
a lot
right,
out there.
Right.
And I think, Amelia, do you want to bring up our website? Because we do have that Water 101 section that has... Or education and news.
Okay.
And then under Water 101, there's a lot of efficient watering information.
Right.
And so we can certainly, you know, focus a little bit more on this. But I think, you know, emphasizing the resiliency of the overall water system so that, you know, everybody has water when the big drought comes is the message that's not as tightly tied to the enabling of the developments.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's why I said we need to point out that this is going to be mandated by the state.
Yeah, the state terms it as conservation as a way of life.
Yes, exactly.
That's been their message.
Yeah.
I think since the first drought.
Yeah. But they actually sent out a. Like a statement, or I don't know who they sent it to, but
it's a requirement for the urban water suppliers to also have contingency plans for droughts with stages and notifications that the board would have to usually enact.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that becomes required as part of your urban water management plan. But being prepared for it and getting the word out is probably due diligence.
It's an action item, and sometimes we're so frustrated about the fact, or I am anyways, that we know this, but are people taking it in? Do people get it? You know, do people get it and they don't care? You know, but do people get it? And
just based on the numbers, most of our residents aren't seeing this.
No, I know. Yeah. No.
So the question is, how do we export that to them?
Well, and one of the ways,
or other pieces of information.
Well, that's why I was suggesting that we need to make it a monthly part of our pipeline
communications.
Yeah. And then secondly, doing something along the lines of setting up a once a quarter, whatever, some kind of reach out to the community.
Usually at community events you can do some form of public outreach.
I just don't know if we have anything
budgeted towards that. Well, I know they did
Summer Fest.
And I think they're doing something around Christmas time.
We did a family event with the Kiwanis, and we had a presentation there. But I think another good avenue is to go into the school and have presentations to the kids, you know, because this is changing behavior, and so you want to work it from all different
angles. Yeah.
Different age levels.
We should reach out to the schools, because I believe part of their, like, either fifth grade or sixth grade program.
They have it's part of the curriculum, California.
Yeah, because a lot of them were coming out and doing tours pre-COVID, post-COVID. It was very common at Stockton that, you know, 3, 4, 5 classes a year would come out because it's part of their curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most of the kids are at the school?
Cress.
Oh, at Cress. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's K-6 or K-8?
K-8.
K-6.
And then where did the middle schoolers go?
Over to Elk Grove.
Oh, down to Elk Grove.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they all are bused out.
K-Sessions? No, not K-Sessions. Albiani.
Albiani
Middle. K-Sessions is in San Diego. Albiani Middle
and
School,
Pleasant Hill.
Which is right next to Pleasant Grove High School.
Yeah. Okay.
So majority of the school age kids in our community are bused over to Kissimmee River Elementary, which is right there on Jackson Highway. Mm-hmm. And they're bused to Albiani or taken by parents. A lot of parents drive the elementary kids over to Krez.
Yeah.
You know, then there's this smattering of kids that go to Bradshaw Christian, or my stepson went all the way down to Elk Grove High School for 3 out of his 4 years. He was able to drive himself down there. At one point in time, you mentioned Escuela. The reason that street is called Escuela is that originally it was planned to have a school there.
Another school?
Yes, another
like elementary
school.
I think it would have been an elementary school.
Four Rancho Murrieta kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did that die?
I've forgotten. I've heard why.
Because there's a certain number of students that you have to have available
to
build a school. Yeah.
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 Okay.
And Crest used to be, well, most people who haven't been out here very long, but Crest was a big yellow brick building, 2 stories, on the order of how they used to build schools back in the day. You know, the school I went to in what was it, 1st grade through 6th grade, was a really old square red brick building. You know, and so that's kind of what Crest was like, and all of.
Well, and so was Dillard School, and they rebuilt
Dillard.
In the last.
Both
10
of
years.
Those schools were just real old time.
Country schools.
And then they built Crest and they built Dillard, and both of them are really lovely schools for the kids to go to. They have all kinds of fun things that go on there.
But so, yeah, I did go back to the original topic,
yeah.
Pardon me. I concur with, I think that we probably ought to, maybe not every month, but on a regular recurrent basis, be putting something into the pipeline. I would much prefer to see some space dedicated to that than the whole back page of fluff from Cal Waste. I understand. I mean, and like I said, I think those other associations probably have standard pieces. Maybe even we can provide them sequentially. I don't know. I'll have to go back and review this. It's been a while since I've looked at this one to see if, maybe just refer people to it. We also might want to look at it and see if we need to bolster this as well.
One thing I was kind of thinking was to do the general stuff, but also to try and draw it into the specifics of our community. You know, where can we find places where we can conserve, not just in our homes and stuff, but the main thing is landscaping, and that made me think of RMA. RMA runs water all over the place, and especially around Laguna Joaquin, you see the puddles all the time. And I think we need to start saying, "Hey, you guys," you know. And I remember a couple years ago, Rod Hart, before he was the general manager, had been the head of maintenance for 30 some years, and he had a great idea, and the board just hasn't acted on it, and that was to take out all that lawn and make it drought tolerant. And it would also be a tremendous benefit for not having to use drainage water and have that be, you know, part of that. I mean, they'll use some drainage, but
there's been some recent interest, and I think that we probably, as we move forward into a new year and with slightly different constitution to our board of directors, look at, there's been some chatter about providing recycled water up to Stonehouse,
mm-hmm.
where all of our athletic fields and parks and mm-hmm. dog parks mm-hmm. are. And there has to be a tremendous amount of water
used up there.
It's potable water. It's coming mm-hmm. out of the Rio Oso tank,
right. mm-hmm.
to water all of that lawn up there. And
the hotter it gets, the more they have to water, you know.
Right. And I'm certainly not going to advocate to RMA that they replace all that with artificial turf, although although that would be long-term, I am told, as more and more of the high school football fields converted over to that, that actually there was an initial upfront cost, which was substantial, but over the course of 10 years, it more than pays for itself. But it's hotter than heck in the middle of a Saturday afternoon when you're trying to play baseball or referee a football game. I loved them on Friday nights. Didn't care for them so much on Saturday afternoons.
And, you know, if we can find other areas that are overly green grass, you know, there's a lot of places around Rancho Murrieta North that are maintained by RMA, it's, what do they call it, community, no.
Common areas.
Common areas,
yeah,
right.
We actually have, you're right, I think there's a lot more common area in the north, open common area, a lot more grassed, you know, open area than on the south. The south, of course, the homes are more compact on the south as well. Same thing over here with the gardens. I mean, there's just not a lot of open space.
No.
But on the north side, which is the original development, and, you know, there is. Although, again, you know, the idea of conserving by moving reclaimed water over to Stonehouse, you know, the IWMP suggests there may not be enough water for the golf courses.
Right.
Yeah, let alone to expand other places.
Right.
We'll see how that develops. I think that's a point of contention still.
Well, that's why
to be worked through. But
that's why I think RMA needs to consider, you know, what do they call it? Something friendly landscaping.
Xeriscaping?
Yeah,
drought tolerant
landscaping, and I just think of that area in particular around Laguna Joaquin, which is just huge, absolutely huge. That is always green, and there's no fields or anything that you have to water around there. And there's other places that I know we all drive by, and I don't live in the north anymore, but have driven by, and I think I've just recently become more aware, you know, that, oh my God, RMA's got all this green grass all over the place. And drought-tolerant landscaping is not faux grass. You know, drought-tolerant landscaping is more stones, more bark, more, you know, Native American, or Native Californian plants and things like that. So I was very excited when Rod talked about that, and he talked about it at RMA meetings, but I asked him not too long ago, what the heck happened to that? And he said, well, you know, things move kind of slowly. And
well, we do love our verdant open areas, too, so, you know, they're very aesthetically pleasing,
but
more
you know
so
what?
Than some
it
of the
may not be able
no,
to do that.
No, I understand.
May not
but,
be
I mean, but that's the reason that it hasn't happened before and why we have these great, you know, areas.
I think at some point somebody needs to talk to RMA and find out what their plan is.
So maybe who can you task with starting to develop a communication strategy for the community, including maybe some additional outreach, including regular pieces in the pipeline, and I don't know to what extent we can provide helpful information. You know, just to say you need to conserve isn't enough.
No, no, and that's my
here's how you can do it. And I so, but I think
so we don't have anybody who's just idle. You know, that
no.
have time to take on a new task. But I think we are currently attempting to fill the pipeline with content, fill the website with content, and those contributors can, you know, work on this kind of messaging, and just make
sure. If you want me to call CSDA, I'll call CSDA and, you know, see what they have to give us and how far we can go.
There are many resources on this topic that are
the water department,
etc. But I heard you also say that you wanted it specific to the community.
Not necessarily all the time, but we it needs to be a little comprehensive. Yeah. You know, some of the issues are specific to Rancho Murrieta, yeah. And some of them are not. You know, some of them are more global.
Well, I think the regulation that Eric referenced, the conservation as a way of California life, they have a huge amount of information okay. about that, because it's not something that's unique to this community.
No.
And in fact, RMA has been asking about, you know, the availability of recycled water for Stonehouse, and so I think that's moving. In fact, I just gave Eric an enormous binder on recycled water from 2017, I think, that details out the whole plan of providing water for Stonehouse from the recycled water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're on the cusp of, you know, being in a position to be able to, you know, rethink the whole use of our entire recycled water supply at the country club, and figuring out how to either get more of it out there to the parks that are in the community, you know, or figuring out how to help the country club do more with less. I mean, there's
have you looked at the numbers? I've forgotten, but it seems to me that I'm left with the impression that I read somewhere in the Integrated Water Master, I don't know if you had a chance to review that yet or not, but there is a hint that and I've heard opposing arguments on this. Mike Martell stood up one night at a board meeting and said that there's a surplus of recycled water that the country club doesn't need, and I thought that our consultants in the IWMP reached the opposite conclusion, that we actually fall short of providing.
And we have on several years ended up watering the country club.
I think you're exactly right. I think right now with reclaimed water, we're looking at providing, or what we currently provide towards the country club, I want to say somewhere is in the 500 to 550 acre feet mm-hmm. Region. And looking at those build outs, there is discussion that would be closer to 1,000. I think they somewhere reference like 907 for some reason sticks out in my mind. I think there's also options of raw water usage that would be direct diversion that could possibly make some of that up. I think it's more of the district and how we utilize those things and how we store it, meaning during the summer it isn't always... the consumness isn't always at 70 CFS or 71 CFS.
And you can't pump from the consumness during the summer.
Correct.
May 31st.
And so there's certain times of years, but also looking at putting some of those options and how we do it.
And I agree. As we proceed with evaluating this draft document that we have and looking at feedback from the community, looking at whatever information and feedback we get from another peer review, I think we have to have a really wide angle lens. The problem is that right now everything in that report is completely speculative, and I think at some point in the not too distant future our board is going to have to make some hard decisions about options to look at and to actually kick into motion, because there's just no doubt in my mind that even without additional build out beyond where we are sit today, water is going to become a critical issue for this community if it isn't already.
I would also agree, and to your point, I think maybe it hasn't been at the forethought, because now we're approaching a situation where we're kind of looking at how short that water supply looks like as we go through this period of the year, and then looking what if it stays dry until the following summer, right?
And there's, I mean, we had maybe a record-setting summer, and there's talk...
There's talk
of a La Nina winter, which... The stuff I'm reading says we may not end up with below average precipitation.
Right.
That's going to happen further south. They're going to get drenched further north. We're kind of in between So right now the forecast is we should probably have around average rainfall. But when I first moved to Northern California in 1980, we used to get inundated with rain from
December.
October through March. And the rain year used to begin, and we know everything we read says it's coming later, and it's coming more in a bunch. So that's all. But I think we have to be responsible. We as leaders of the district have to start encouraging folks to look at how they're using water, and we have to do it in a manner that isn't based on a projection for more build out. Mm-hmm. It's based on
what we have,
what the trends are, how short that supply is now according to this report that we have in hand. And a dry winter could be devastating for us.
There's a couple of things to think about. First of all, it takes two houses of regular water to make recycled water for one house. Yes.
So
the volume.
In the sense of looking at,
because so much of our water usage goes to landscaping.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the household use that ends up in the recycled batch.
Looking at reclaimed is only a small lens that we're looking through, right? Because so there's been discussion over augmentation with wells, right?
It's not good.
Hold on. Give me a second, right?
Yes, there is some discussion, and it needs to be fully vetted.
Right, but that's only been looked at for drinking water. Now you got my point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of sinks home, because you could actually use that also and not be concerned really about water quality as reclaimed water, putting it into that same system and network as irrigation water with no impact to drinking water whatsoever, except for then you lower the usage of potable water to use it for the community. I'm not anti-development. I'm not pro-development. I'm neither. What my real concern is for the community, even as it stands now, that there's multiple sources for risk and resiliency to protect the district in that concern. Because if there is a time that we run out of water, then we look at trucking water that becomes expensive.
And I think that's the dynamic. You just hit, in my mind, the focal point of the dynamic and how, why communication is so difficult on this subject. Water, providing water in this community has always been one-dimensional. And it wasn't until recent developments that we were forced to say, gosh, that one dimension may not be broad enough.
Right. Yeah, and it is going to be difficult for the board in the sense that you are elected, right? And for us, the day-to-day, we present items and ideas that we hope move forward, but they do have a cost attached to them.
Oh, and that's the other
catch.
So
from us, communication is critical to get support both from the board but also the community so that they see this as a safety and security and a benefit to all type process. But I think there's also going to have to be a lot of deep diving. So
we are the community.
Correct. You reflect that.
We are the community. You know, we represent the community.
Yeah.
And I totally agree that we need an alternate source of water. Not for build out, but for us, for the existing community. And that is conservation of the people who live here now is part of what we're going to have to depend on for the people who live here now to be able to survive a serious drought. We are not plumbed or piped or whatever you want to call it for any conservation of reclaimed recycled water in the north or the south. The old building, the only people who have purple pipe are the gardens and the retreats. There's also a statement in...
I thought we gave the retreats a pass. Do they have purple?
No, the residents got it.
The residents.
The retreats, though, has common,
the
one common purple pipe. It's not at each house.
Yeah, and the retreats does actually have Purple Pipe connection, they gave them a pass, but there is connection to
the
cable.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
for the common area.
Yeah, it's
for the
still
common
there.
Area, there's Purple Pipe. Not for the houses.
And there's a specific, I wish I could
lots.
Bring the piece of paper. I'm trying to remember where I read it, but there is permit or license that describes what we're allowed to do with recycled water, or a statement, and not for residences, it says. It says it right there, that this recycled water, and it may have been in the contract with the country club, but basically it says recycled water is not for houses, it's for the country club.
And we have a recycled water use policy.
That's what it is, yeah.
That designates it for country club, parks, and it seems like there's one other non-residential area or something. But I mean, that's
probably commercial.
But that can always be reviewed and amended were we to find the ability to expand that. But again, we have the largest park in the community is being irrigated with potable water.
Yeah, the 2017 report from Kennedy Jenks highlights options to try to be able to use that on reclaimed water, but currently in our existing capacity and with the infrastructure we have,
it's not going to happen.
It's just not a possibility because we don't have enough to provide it.
So as we look at all these other avenues, there's a need, and again, it's a greater need probably in the longer established homes, mostly on the north, because that's where we have, you know, the estate lots and the larger lots and the historical landscaping that we don't see in the other newer developments, either on the south or the ones even more recent. So we need to figure out a way to start communicating with people like me to say, all right, Steve, find a way to cut back on your water use. And maybe it's just a matter of being smarter about how and when we use water.
And watering trees, if it's under the oven thing.
Instead of depending on your...
But I have the policy in the master.
What do you call it?
Yeah, I know.
Why can't I call it?
I have a drip system on all of my stuff.
Yeah, a drip system. But
which is far more efficient than flooding or...
God! Okay.
Yeah, we may be able to look at like high usage and try to do some reach out with door hangers and stuff to try to bring their usage.
And I was trying to pull up the policy. We have a data set on that just to be able to determine when they made that policy, because I think there has been some public discomfort with usage of recycled water. Like you talked 20 years ago, and I don't know how long ago the policy was written. And then the obligation of the country club. But, you know, I think things have changed in terms of the level of treatment that make people, you know, less squeamish about it. And so that helps us, you know, to be able to advocate for more. I don't know why residents has got a pass, because that would have been
because
perfect.
I can tell you, we were on the board at
that
time.
Yeah, we were on the board. Uh-huh.
They gave them a pass because it was very expensive. And they decided that they weren't going to, John Sullivan was around, and they decided that they weren't going to buy.
Is it because they had to run a second set of completely separate pipes?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the infrastructure was expensive.
Yes.
And they would have also had to do something about a pump or something to move the water
right,
up
to get
there.
The water up there, up the hill.
Well, but I think what they're doing now with...
It doesn't flow uphill, friend.
No, I know. Some of the areas where they received a pass, the main that feeds the golf courses runs less than probably 25 or 20 feet from the actual stub that they were going to do connections before. I couldn't see through GIS whether they had completely separate systems like you're talking about, which is costly.
Well, that was what the residences, and you didn't know Jen Sullivan. Nobody, you have to realize that.
Well, yeah, every cost has a price.
Well, and
he was a strong advocate for whatever his positions were.
Yeah,
I think that's what
and he was a bully, frankly, and he could make it very uncomfortable
Thank you.
For
others who are
sitting board there who was supposed to be representing the community, and many times it was, you know, a very, very contentious situation. So that's basically what happened with the residences. The whole idea that, you know, we were going to run pipe, and believe me, it would have been at the expense of the existing community, and that we were going to run pipe up there and provide water for his residences. That's it's totally against that policy.
Yeah, and I think that Eric's point is that it would have been possible to tie in at a closer location to the recycled water supply line.
You still have to have a pump, like.
I think the point is that it already was pumped up to, because of the location of the fairways and stuff.
So, yeah, you would be, but they would have been.
It was very short-sighted. It was very short-sighted. And I was.
A lot of decisions have been made historically in this community that greatly favored developers and builders.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon.
And, you know, it's not unique to Rancho Murrieta. We're seeing it happen in Folsom. We're seeing it happen all over Sacramento County.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for that. But some of those decisions now are creating new challenges for us.
Yeah.
Either weren't anticipated then, or maybe worse, just weren't even considered.
Both. Yeah, I think you're right.
But again, the bottom line is we have to find ways. And I don't remember what the numbers are. I don't think it helps us maybe to compare us to Norway, which was done one night in a board meeting, because we have a very different climate in hydrology. But I think California, as you stated, and of course, you know, we literally, although we think we're Northern California, we're in the southern half of the state. And the further south you go, the harder it gets to find water. Or the further west you go, the harder it is to find water. So we're not the only ones having that problem. And we need to try to get out ahead of it in communications with the community. And it's going to be difficult, again, because the message in the current context is going to be resisted.
There are people in the community who think because they can afford to pay for it, they can have it.
Oh, there's a member on our board that has said that publicly.
Yes, I know. That's why I was bringing that up. And there's something else about the, I don't know if you are.
Who has a riparian right to the river, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Don't even get me started.
The state is advocating for tiered water rates to help with some of this, because as you move through tiers, those rates go up, and then you even have a penalty to a high user. So the people who do have money
can't say that anymore. I mean, they can't abuse the rest of the community.
Right, and even in certain areas where they've gone through contingency planning in the south, near L.A. and in between San Diego, some of the very wealthy estates down there, they actually use restrictive devices that they slipped into the flow meters to restrict the amount of flow during shortages. Mm-hmm. That's a difficult decision for the board to be faced with, but it is something that I think with the IWMP and the concern over water, it could be a reality at some point.
Well, and the reality is the fact that I maybe can afford to pay for more water usage doesn't mean that I ought to be able to be a glutton when the supply for the entire community is at risk.
Exactly. One other thing about recycled water and the country club. Years ago when this was, we started with the first contract, which was 40 years ago, it was a solution to a problem. We had to do something with our recycled water, and they needed water. And so the whole thing was set up so that they were first on the list. And that is a 40-year contract. It comes up for renewal on 2028. And the only way you can get out of that is if both parties agree. And if you think the country club, we give it to them for free. We don't have to do that, but we have to. They are first on the list. And so if you think you're getting out of that contract, you're not. That's not going to happen. The country club is going to continue to to expect that they are going to be first on the list, and that unless we agree with, unless they agree with us to not be providing that anymore, it's just not going to happen.
Well, who knows if they'll be around? I mean, they've had all these rumors about, you know.
Yeah, they're in the black right now.
Yeah, good for them, because they owe us some money. So,
yeah,
okay, well, these are great suggestions. Thank you very much. We can, you know, direct our efforts to helping to spread the word. Okay.
There's nobody present in the public. Camellia, have you received anything from the public
sir.
Today? All right. So item four, comments from the public is satisfied. Director Butler, item five, anything, other comments or suggestions you'd like to make?
Me? No.
All right. Then we will adjourn the meeting at 9:57.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.